Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. We're off to Ann Stevenson Yang of the book Wild Ride, the story of the miracle of China all the way up, and now You Can't Catch a Falling Knife is what Wall Street has taught me over many years. So the direction is down. How far we are is an unknown, but I come to a story suggestive that right now China is broken. And a very good day to you. I read from the Financial Times in these last hours. This is the pink newspaper, has no dog in the partisan fight in America. It looks at the world from the European London point of view. And when it writes, Chinese exporters wash, that's in quote, products in third countries to avoid Donald Trump's tariffs. Subhead. Asian neighbors wary of becoming staging posts for trade actually destined for U.S. And is this new? Is this something that you've seen over the years washing to avoid tariffs or other restrictions? Because these third-party countries, the obvious suspects, Vietnam, but also Malaysia, are now admitting that this has been going on and they're cracking down on it. It seems far-fetched. But in any event, I want to take this as a sign that they're desperate, or is it ordinary? Good day to you, Anne.
Good day, John. I think it's quite ordinary. You saw a lot of steel transshipment in the early part of the century. Gradually that ebbed because it was too easy to identify the national origin of steel. In recent years, you've seen a ton of transshipment of solar, largely from Malaysia. Also semiconductor chips. It's very common. And you know, the Chinese economy excels at regulatory arbitrage. That's where you find a huge amount of innovation. So as soon as you have new regulations and the tariff trumps, the Trump tariffs would be one example of that, then you get a zillion small companies trying to get in and arbitrage the price by offering transshipment services.
Gordon, you have a question for Anne.
And President Trump's across-the-board tariffs would seem to make it less able for companies to do this, because if you ship out of China, yes, you have a 145% tariff. But if you ship out of Vietnam, supposedly, you still have high tariffs. Do you think that there is a tariff solution here, or is this just a temporary defense that the Chinese will overwhelm?
Well, you know, Gordon, I don't think that a tariff is the right answer to this. We all know that the world system has been incapable of dealing with the surge of Chinese cheap exports, and that's a problem for the system. I think that tariffs are not the answer, but the tariffs are not as high on Vietnam and Malaysia and other Southeast Asian countries. So I see no reason why they wouldn't assist in transshipment. I think that identifying national origin of shipments is something that the U.S. bureaucracy has gotten pretty good at.
We come to the question of what is to be done. Right now, we have this standoff between Washington and Beijing. However, there's been a change in the last 2 weeks, and you're sensitive to these things, having traveled China for years. I'm not. So it looks to me that they switched metaphors at the Chinese propaganda industry, wherever that is, in Shanghai or Beijing. 2 weeks ago, when Gordon and I were reporting on crossed arms, frowning face from the Chinese Communist Party, the editorial said that the U.S. was a small, lonely boat in the world of affairs. The next week, almost simultaneously with a report I have of factories closing down, turning out the lights, leaving in the Pearl River bases, small manufacturers. The next week, we had a metaphor saying that China's open door to talks with the U.S. If the U.S. is needful, we'll help them. Is that a major switch for China, Anne, or is this the sort of thing that I shouldn't make much of because they're just trying to get people engaged?
I think that always Trump was going to back down on the tariffs, and China was going to come up with some kind of at least face-saving solution. It does appear that we need something very, very serious and systemic, but I think that trade embargo with China at this point is not the way to do it. There are too many U.S. products that are dependent on that, and I think that the Trump administration is very concerned about the coming price increase and the downturn in the economy that they're inducing with the does China want to talk about it? I mean, the big problem for China right now is what exactly is the ask? That's the problem. Like, okay, we'll offer something, but what is being asked of us?
Gordon, you have a question.
What do you think the ask should be?
Well, I mean, what we need to do is reduce the flood of Chinese, what we really need to do is find a proper tax format for American corporations so that they don't find it useful to arbitrage slave labor in China and tax havens all over the world so that they can avoid contributing tax to the United States. That's a domestic issue and one that's very difficult to attack.
I come to the property market that you've chronicled for years. In your book, Wild Ride, it's about the amazing Chinese ability to match up and compete point by point with American output and productivity. And yet the property market was the place that Chinese need for growth showed. For years, you documented that the property market was building more than there was demand. You documented, you went from city to city that was pretending to be Versailles or the New York Times, Times Square, or Wall Street. They had all kinds of fancy ideas. The builders were crazy. And they were financed by local municipal loans on the basis of what the property is going to be worth in the future when a billion people come and live here. Well, that's the bubble that collapsed. You saw it, Anne. You talked to this audience for years about it. And Gordon would report now and again on the electricity usage in these palaces that imitate the New York Times Square. And there would be no electricity uses, meaning that nobody was living there. For years, Gordon, you might still do it, Gordon. And yet the investor class kept going and going and going. And now it's whining that it's being damaged by confrontation with Beijing. Did they know and not tell, Anne? Did Deutsche Bank and HSBC and Morgan know that China was a bubble and that the real estate was the evidence of it and not bother to interpret that to their clients?
I don't think it's that, John. I think that, everybody, or let's say most people, knew that it was unsustainable and that there weren't people to buy all these apartments. But the problem is, what's the timing? So if you had never participated in that property ramp up at all, you would have foregone a lot of big, big earnings. And the banks didn't want to have their clients do that. So the question is, when do you call an end to it? And that has been the problem. And a lot of them did call the end in summer of 21.
Gordon, is it your measure that they finally told the truth, as Anne indicates? We have 30 seconds.
I have a darker view. I think that they knew all along. They didn't talk to their clients about fundamentals. And, of course, the inevitable happened.
And Anne, right now, is 20 seconds. Is China cracking, or is this just the first phase of a battle?
Oh, China's in very bad situation, and trade is only going to make it worse.
Anne Stephenson Yang, the book is Wild Ride, What Might Have Been, What Isn't. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batchelor.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.